Hi, this is Jonathan from Lewis Jewelers. If you're in the market for a diamond, we can make the experience easy and stress-free. Not to mention, we can save you time and money. As a general manager, one of my roles is to hand-select every diamond that comes into our store. Don't shop alone. Come see me or one of my trusted advisors and find the perfect diamond today. Where Ann Arbor gets engaged, Lewis Jewelers.
Welcome on into the Wolverine.com podcast. Clayton Safey here with Chris Ballas and Anthony Broom. Back at it, talking some Michigan basketball, some Michigan football. We'll do a little NFL draft cleanup after five guys picked, another six undrafted free agents, so taking their shot at the next level. But we'll start on the basketball side of things with some roster movement over the last week, really since we recorded. You have Michigan, as we talked about last week, bringing in Princeton guard Jalen Llewellyn. He was on his visit when we recorded a week ago and was looking like it was trending in that direction. They closed the deal there, so he commits, and he will be a grad transfer guard for the Wolverines. One day later, Frankie Collins, who was going to be a sophomore point guard, transfers out of the program, and that's basically your one-for-one transfer portal. Collins now committed to Arizona State, but that whole thing, very interesting. Llewellyn was coming in. That was some competition for Frankie Collins, and it looks like he wanted to find some greener pastures elsewhere.
That's exactly what happened. And to be honest with you, and speaking to some people close to the program, I think they're okay with the trade, to be honest. It's like everybody was panicking and saying, wow, you know, how do we lose Frankie Collins? And my rebuttal to that was, if you were looking through the portal and you were looking at guards and you were looking at numbers and forget the names, if you saw a guy in there with Frankie's numbers, you're shooting 16% from three and 44% from the free throw line as a point guard, you'd say, no way, right? Wouldn't that be your first reaction would be to say, yeah, why would you want a guy like that? Now, granted, he does some other things. He can get to the rim. He could be a great defender, but you need guys around Hunter Dickinson that are going to spread the floor a little bit. And I think Llewellyn is that guy. They are bringing him in to be a point guard and speaking with people close to it. So it'll be him, Doug McDaniel. We'll see how the rest of the roster pans out. But if Musa Diabate and Caleb Houston both come back, and I think that's a big if, I think Diabate, in my opinion, would probably be leaning towards staying in the draft, then I think your roster's set. Otherwise, you go and say, okay, do we go and get a Pete Nance? He's not coming. I think you'll go out at that point and get another guard slash wing. Terrence Shannon would have been perfect in that role, frankly, but that didn't happen. He's going to Illinois. So that's where we stand today, and be very interesting to see how that roster comes together. But the biggest piece of the puzzle, guys, is Hunter Dickinson. You build around him, get some guys that can shoot, and then you're gonna have a pretty darn good basketball team.
Yeah, with so much focus now on, given that it is, I mean, these are Hunter Dickinson words, transfer portal and NIL has kind of made this the wild, wild west, and everything is kind of year to year and sort of free agency like now. So with Hunter Dickinson coming back, you look at the one-for-one trade-off of, okay, 1 year of Jalen Llewellyn, measured up against what you could have gotten potentially out of Frankie Collins, I think you take that trade. I've seen people say, was it really worth it? It's worth it if you make another tournament run next year with Hunter Dickinson at the helm and all these other guys around him. So again, my understanding and speaking to a couple of people on it is that Frankie Collins wanted to go to the NBA or wants to go to the NBA after next season. Obviously there was going to be some competition at Michigan for him to even start. Some guys stay and embrace that. Other guys head for greener pastures. And, you know, you wish him the best at Arizona State. But I don't think Michigan is losing out in this deal. When you bring in six guys, I think that was a six-man recruiting class last year. Some chances are, the way things are now, not all of those guys are going to stay. And competition is going to either sharpen your roster or chase guys away. So it went the other way for Frankie Collins. I think that, I still think the bones of a good basketball player are there, but like a lot of these freshmen this past year, this freshman class just weren't quite ready yet for the big time. And I think that some of the early season frustrations with the basketball team were because that freshman class just didn't quite have it, whether it was in their chest or how they performed on the court. So you move on and you wish everyone the best, but I think this worked out for Michigan. And the interesting thing about it is that these two teams, Michigan and Arizona State, that is, they could play in Brooklyn this year in that Legends Classic if the schedule breaks the right way. Also, VCU, who has Zeb Jackson and Brandon Johns, also in that that preseason tournament or that non-conference tournament field. So a lot of juice here. Like I said, you know, Michigan is not always 100% involved in the free agency that is the transfer portal. But this one, I think, you know, we talk about the guys that fit. Jalen Newellens is almost a 40% 3-point shooter. I think that, you know, I thought there was a chance that him and Frankie could coexist alongside each other. Llewellyn kind of sliding over to that Eli Brooks role, but he's your point guard now. And I think when you look at how Michigan's had success there with Mike Smith, with Devontae Jones, this is another addition where this guy probably isn't going to be the guy that leads your team, but he's going to be a pretty good piece, supplementary piece to what you already have on the roster. So Llewellyn's a good add for them. And I think, again, when you go back to the one-for-one swap, I think this is a good one for Michigan.
And Clay, what are those three words that Juwan always uses when he's comprising a roster?
How'd you know that was the next thing I was going to say? Four competitors only.
Exactly. You
know me too well. And you're right. I mean, if you're not willing, like Juwan Howard has to do and his staff has to do what's best for the program. And they had a spot open, you know, potentially there, you know, where they can make things work with the numbers. You see a guard that has interest in you. You have interest in him. You go and get him. You add him to what is going to be a thin backcourt, which is also what I was going to get to next. It's still very thin because we were talking about a month ago how Michigan should add a guard here. You know, maybe somebody, again, Terrence Shannon, I hate to bring him up again, but would have been a great fit because he has positional flexibility there and all that. But you're still thin there. And, you know, Michigan had to do what was best for them. Now they do that. Frankie Collins does what he thinks is best for him. It also, by the way, is a trend for him going to, you know, he played at, what, three different high schools. Now he'll play at his second college in 2 years. So it is what it is on that standpoint. But level of concern for you guys in terms of the backcourt, because now you have Doug McDaniel, who, by the way, isn't coming here to sit necessarily. Now it's very, very hard to make an impact at Michigan or in the Big Ten. There were only two freshman point guards that started in the Big Ten last year. You know, one that had decent success in Chucky Hepburn at Wisconsin. Then you have, you look at Michigan's kind of lineage there. Derek Walton was really the last one to do it, and he was on a loaded team and played off the ball quite a bit and had a great role and shot well. So, it, you know, it can be done in certain circumstances, but Doug McDaniel's coming in. You have Jalen Llewellyn, Kobe Bufkins, your other really true guard on this team. You have Jet Howard could play some there. Jace Howard is listed as a guard, although he's basically just a big man at this point. So you look at the roster, it might be a little deceiving there, but you know, I guess your guys' thoughts on the concern level there, because it is thin, and I think, you know, they could still use somebody else if they could have the, if they have the number.
They could. If Musa Diabate were to leave, then I think it's up to them to go out and get another guard, and I think that's probably what they do. And then you're going to see Caleb Houston playing some at the four, which I think might be a really, really good move for him. And in talking to people close to the program recently, they said, you know what? What if he were like an Isaiah Livers type? Now, he doesn't have that athleticism, but what if he could be out there shooting and lighting it up? And if he can guard some fours and play some four, then boy, what a great thing it would be for both us and for him. So, but I do think he would need to bring in another guard. It was interesting too, that they view Jet Howard as a 2-3. Now, a lot of people would think 3-4, could he play some four? Maybe, but they think he can play some with the ball in his hands. And we saw at the Iverson Classic that he did some things off the dribble. Do I think he's a 2? No. You know, there were times that he was saying, hey, I'd like to be, you know, a 6-7 point guard early on in his career, and that's not going to happen. But if he can develop that, you know, the way Tim Hardaway did throughout his career, he was not strong with the ball when we saw him at the Michigan camp, and he got better in that area. So that is a possibility, and he's going to play, let's be honest. He's going to see some significant playing time. So, but I agree with you, and it would have been ideal if they'd been able to get Shannon in here along with Llewellyn, you know, and if they had to move Jace Howard to the to walk-on status or whatever, you know, for a year, then so be it. If Musa Diabate were to stay, which I don't think he will, guys, I think he's going to, I don't know. It depends kind of, I guess, what if, you know, if he lays an egg at the NBA combine, then I don't think that he's going to then I think, you know, it might force his hand into coming back, but it only takes one team. We saw with Jordan Poole and Golden State going in the first round. And there are a couple of teams, and speaking with people close to it, that are interested in him. And, you know, midway through the year last year, fellas, they were talking about, you know, Musa wants to be a one and done no matter what. So do I think he's an NBA player now? No, they don't draft on the immediate here and now, though, anymore. It's about potential. Do I think he has the potential down the road to be an NBA player? Yeah, maybe. But I think he's a long way from that. But it doesn't really matter what we think. It's what he thinks and what he wants.
Yeah, it would be, you know, him, Musa staying in the draft. I mean, it all comes down to what the kid wants to do. I say kid, these are young men, so I shouldn't say that. But I don't, again, we've talked about this a million times. To me right now, he's more of a tantalizing athlete than he is a, you know, this diamond in the rough basketball prospect. Like, you have to, there are so much improvement that needs to take place. And I guess if someone's willing to take him high enough, then you have your answer. You know, the NBA is pretty patient with those young guys, especially if you have the type of athleticism that he does. But when you look at this roster, I'm with you. I mean, if Caleb Houston can come back and put on 10, 15 pounds of muscle, I think all of a sudden you're looking at a guy who I think can hold up a little bit, probably a little bit better on the floor. I don't know if I necessarily want him, you know, defending out on the wing as much. I do like the potential that he could bring if he just puts a little more muscle on it and slides down to the four. But yeah, losing out on Terrence Shannon obviously was hurtful, and there were a ton of reasons for that. You know, if there's a spot, I think guard is probably the next place you go. You're banking on Kobe Bufkin taking the jump and Doug McDaniel being ready to play, you know, some more minutes as well. So, and then, you know, let's call a spade a spade. I mean, there's an adjustment coming from the Ivy League up to the Big Ten. We've seen that already before with, you know, guys like Mike Smith, and even, you know, it wasn't the Ivy League, it was the Sun Belt, but Devontae Jones took almost half a season to get going. So a lot of the improvement, you know, we talk about the additions from the outside with the recruiting class and with Llewellyn. This team early on is going to be defined by what it gets from the guys that are already there. So you look for a Terrence Williams to, you know, step up and play better. He's going to be a junior. I think for him, it's not just come off the bench and be a spark plug. Now, you're a junior. You need to be one of the bigger parts of this basketball team. So from there, that's roster is a little less in flux. We'll see where these NBA, what the NBA decisions wind up looking like. Chris, I'm with you. I think it's probably year go one for two there, and you're looking at getting Houston back.
Hi, this is Jonathan from Lewis Jewelers. If you're in the market for a diamond, we can make the experience easy and stress-free. Not to mention, we can save you time and money. As a general manager, one of my roles is to hand-select every diamond that comes into our store. Don't shop alone. Come see me or one of my trusted advisors and find the perfect diamond today. Where Ann Arbor gets engaged, Lewis Jewelers.
I agree. There are only a few guys that got an invite to the NBA draft combine last year and decided to come back to school. Musa Diabate is a kid. I think he's going to intrigue a lot of people because he can play the five, switch on to anybody, maybe in time in the NBA, at least at times. And that'll be kind of how it goes. And Anthony, you make a great point with some of these guys that are going to have to make the jump. Terrence Williams into, you know, upperclassman status. You've got to be more of a player. You got to be more complete. Kobe Bufkin into second year. I mean, there's a lot riding on what Kobe Bufkin does this offseason for this Michigan team. And Chris, I thought you put it perfectly, or you might have been quoting a source in Inside the Fort today, which, by the way, go check that out, $1 for a year at thewolverine.com, but where the second year jump is a real thing. It absolutely is. When you look throughout Michigan basketball too, this has been such a good program at developing guys, especially with the strength and conditioning program run by John Sanderson. And, you know, so I think Kobe Bufkin, that's going to be huge. And I think he can be a different player next year. You know, a lot of times you see in college basketball, a guy's what he is as a freshman, but then you see him, what, 6 months later, seven, 8 months later, and it's just a different guy. I'm not saying he's going to be a different guy, but I think he can make a big jump. Will Cheddar, Isaiah Barnes, also, they have to emerge and be capable of being at least in the rotation if they're called upon.
Yeah, let me say this about Kobe. The source also said that, you know, there's one thing to be in the gym, and it's one thing to work hard in the gym. And Frankie Collins was in the gym a lot. You know, there were times, you know, fair or not, and you know, part of it's hindsight, you know, they were saying, you know, boy, he didn't break a sweat. You know, he was in there for a long time. But you know what? Were you
That's
working
like
on
me.
What you,
yeah.
Well, is that what you do? You just go out there in rain threes and not working on the crossover?
Basically, right.
Yeah. Yeah, like all of us. Yeah, so, but yeah, and I think Kobe Bufkin, when he's in there with a purpose. And the one thing he's got, guys, is something that I noticed from Lester Abram, and this is before your time, in his first year, was A, no Lester. Fear. Okay, no fear, and B, a willingness to attack. And, you know, even if you aren't playing a lot, you still have the confidence to attack and you feel like you belong out there. And what I noted yesterday was in talking to somebody was when he, at the end of that Ohio State game, you know, his biggest bucket of the year was that triple. He wanted it. He wanted the ball. He wanted to score. And you saw him attack the rim quite a bit. So he's got that quality, that no fear quality. Now he just needs to be better at just about everything else, frankly, including defense. He was lost last year at times, and that's why he didn't play as much. When people were asking, why isn't Kobe Bufkin playing? Well, in speaking to somebody on the team, they said 98 times out of 100, Eli Brooks is out there doing the right thing or in the right spot, and Kobe Bufkin maybe 50%. So you can't throw away five possessions in a really good game, a really tight game, where, okay, if we can play Eli Brooks 40 minutes, we're going to play Eli Brooks 40 minutes. And guys, they're going to miss him. I'm telling you right now. I don't think people really understand how valuable he was to that team. So, however, he will get better with more experience. And that's what he's going to get this year, guys. Now, by default, frankly, I'm glad he stuck around. There were rumblings that he was thinking about moving on. It turns out to be Frankie Collins, who a lot of people didn't see coming, but should have probably in hindsight, including us. When you're, you know, five schools in 5 years or whatever it is, then you know what? Shame on us for not predicting it, but for not realizing that it was a real possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I want to hesitate to go too far into kind of kicking a guy out the door, but there is something to that, right? Like when you see reports, and it's beyond the people that you've talked to. I saw it on a couple other sites and outlets where even them, Michigan, just being on a graphic for Sam Sessoms, that they're fielding phone calls from, you know, the Collins family about what the hell is going on. Michigan was never recruiting Sessoms.
Right.
Probably recruiting him a little more than they were Imani Bates, but that's a conversation for another day. I mean, at some point, what's the old, you know, Chris, you always call me an old soul. What's the line from Hoosiers? My team is on the floor. The guys that are here past this May 1st deadline, that's who's there. And, you know, pending a surprise or, you know, both of those guys, Diabate and Houston staying in the draft, you know, the culture of staying competitive and competing for your spot, the guys that are willing to do that are still there. And I'll be honest, I mean, a lot of times early on, and I think Clayton, you and I talked about this early on in the basketball season, it didn't really seem like, I don't want to say the team didn't like each other, but when you would look at Hunter Dickinson in a game at North Carolina, you could tell that guy was just so frustrated by how, I don't want to say not ready, but just how underprepared is not the right word either, but that freshman class just wasn't where it needed to be. And some of them had to play bigger roles than maybe anticipated early on. And, you know, to loop it back into what we talked about to start the show with Hunter Dickinson back, this could be his last year at Michigan. Maybe it's not. Maybe NIL keeps rolling in and he's there for two more years. But if 1 to 2 years here is your window to keep attacking and getting after what they hope to be, Phil Martelli said this about Juwan Howard a few times, being the last team standing on a Monday night in April, the best players, you need the best players on the floor. And Jalen Llewellyn is a not a hot take, better basketball player than Frankie Collins. Caleb Houston, if he comes back, to me, has a higher ceiling than, you know, starting Terrence Williams at the four would be. Or, you know, throwing Jet Howard. I mean, I think Jet Howard's very good, but I think if Caleb can take the strides that and be the player that they thought he was when he was coming in, all of a sudden, that's another guy. So, like I said, I think it all – it's been kind of crazy, especially on the message board, in, you know, with all the stuff in the inside the forts. But I think that we finally, the dust has settled, and we'll see who comes back. But I think the bones and the foundation for a really, really good basketball team are here. Not just a make tournament, see what happens, but a top four team in the conference and a team that cannot just get to the second weekend of the tournament, but make noise when they get there.
Definitely. And there's a lot riding on Caleb Houston, what he does if he comes back too, how much better he is. Let's talk real quick before we end with a quick take on the NFL draft. Just with the football side of things, with the portal, things have been kind of quiet, but we get the questions, you know, on a daily basis. Is Michigan done in the portal? There's still a lot of guys in there. They could use probably some help at different positions. You always can, especially if you can get a guy in and if he's capable. Chris, anything on that front that you want to add?
Yeah, there's one. They're still looking for another defensive lineman, and it's very interesting to me because there are a couple guys that are certainly worth pursuing. And so we'll keep an eye on that. We'll have that more on that tomorrow and inside the fort. But here's the thing, guys. I really like going into last year that when you looked at the depth, you're like, oh, my God, they better not get hurt. Mazi Smith and Chris Hinton, they better stay healthy. And a couple guys emerged. Mike Morris emerged and could play all over the line. Chris Jenkins emerged. Those guys are better. Chris Jenkins made a huge leap this spring to the point that they said he's going to be better than Chris Hinton was. He's got a better work ethic. And they think right from the get-go that they're going to upgrade there. Now, he doesn't have the same length, but I think he can be a better pass rusher, and the guy has it when it comes to the want to, and I think that's going to be huge. Then you go out and get Cam Good from UCF, who I think can be a guy that an interior pass rush, fellas, I think can help them in situations. Do I think he's going to be an every down player? No. I think he's probably about 6 feet tall, and he kind of reminds you of Rob Renus in there, but he's got the get off of a Maurice Hurst, maybe not to that level, but that's the kind of player he is. So I think he's going to help. So it was interesting to me, especially when it comes to pass rush and how, I want to see who it is. And we will talk about this again tomorrow, but I think it's going to be somebody with who can rush the passer and somebody with great upside. And so stay tuned on that one.
Yeah. And the more and more I start to think about the Chris Hinton decision after how big of a spring that Chris Jenkins had, not so sure he would have, gotten the same amount of snaps as he did last year. We'll never know, obviously. But I like what Chris Jenkins. Now, Chris Hinton does have size that you just can't teach at, 310, 315, that Chris Jenkins will probably never get there. But we'll see. I'm excited about Chris Jenkins coming into next year.
I think Hinton had another gear that he never reached here, guys, and that's disappointing. And then to leave after 3 years, if he would have gone all in and really, that's anyway, talking to the people that we close to it and not ripping on the kid, but sometimes like a Gabe Watson, again, probably before your time, another gear here that you could reach that he just never reached. And it's unfortunate.
Go ahead, AB.
No, we can save it for another pod, put a pin in it. So
yeah. All right. Don't forget.
We'll start with you with the NFL draft real quick. Who has the best fit out of the guys on, that were drafted? I'm going to just say, Aiden Hutchinson is an obvious one, but another obvious one is Ojabo going to play for Mike McDonald, John Harbaugh. I guess, what do you guys like about where these guys ended up?
That's the one, right? Like, it's David Ojabo and the Baltimore Ravens. Like, that, boom, end conversation. That works. I think that Daxton Hill, I think, is going to play right away. I mean, he's going to play a big role on Cincinnati right away, even if just in those three safety looks. You know what you can do with that guy. He's going to play in the nickel. He'll play he can play some boundary corner. He'll play deep safety. They're going to ask him to do a lot. Aiden Hutchinson, Chris, you wrote it into existence. I was a little worried there before draft night, but Aiden Hutchinson's a lion. It was taking objectivity out of it, literally the quickest jersey purchase of my life. I have to wait a little bit for that one to come in, but that guy is a foundational piece, tone setter, everything that he did at Michigan, I think he will bring to the NFL. Other than that, I mean, how about Hassan Haskins backing up Derrick Henry in Tennessee? I mean, that is another, talk about a culture fit and a backfield fit. Okay, Derrick Henry comes off the field. Finally, we can take a deep breath. Then you have this freight train that's coming right after you. He's not Derrick Henry, but man, he runs so hard. And those guys hit a little bit harder at the next level, but I think Hassan will be just fine there. So those are the ones that stuck out. Again, Andrew Stuber to the Patriots, Michigan guy, Patriots should just always kind of pencil one of those guys in. So the one thing I'll say is that all of these guys that got drafted, there were five of them. To the Michigan players' credit, and it's not like they don't have any control over this, but I feel like those guys over the last couple of years have all gone to places where I think teams can use them, and they'll be pretty successful there. And a lot of them have gone to winning teams too. So that's pretty cool to see.
I love the Haskins Vrabel thing. I really do. I think those guys are kind of MFEO, you know, made for each other. So it's terrible, but it's, I think that's a,
Is that an acronym?
An acronym from like 1990 something or whatever, before acronyms even started? Anyway, terrible. But I love that. I love that fit. And I love Hassan Haskins in the pros for a while because of what he brings to special teams. We've talked about that as well. Put in his special teams tape and it's football porn, right? It's amazing what watching him on a football field. So, and again, great eye for talent. Jay Harbaugh, I think, was the one that really discovered him. And that's what gives you hope, guys, even in this day and age of the portal and pay for play. You know, maybe you get some of these guys, and you know, Michigan doesn't want to be pay for play university, fellas. And you know, they'll take some of their portal guys on the back end, and their guys are going to get paid. Like we wrote, there have been millions of dollars, fellas, committed to the cause here. Okay, by a handful or two of boosters. The collective needs to be better. It needs to be bigger. But I just spoke to somebody yesterday, close to the basketball side, who said at the end of the day, he thinks, you know, when Michigan finally gets it together, that the NIL thing will work in their favor in a big way, that they'll be one of the best. Unfortunately, they're off to a slow start and weren't prepared, in my opinion, for it enough from the get-go. And of course, part of that is not really understanding what it is or what it's going to become until you get into it like we have now. And like you said, it's the wild, wild west. But they're confident, and these are people that are really mired in it and fighting those battles every day. So that gives me a little bit more hope.
No doubt. And back to Stuber real quick. Kid from Connecticut going to New England, joining five other Michigan players on that team. It is crazy how those fits turned out. And then you're right on the Mike Vrabel thing. And actually our friend Palmer Thoms from Dogs HQ, the Georgia on three site, is a Titans fan. He texted me on draft day. He was like, you know, what do you think of Haskins? You know, whatever. Like, I didn't see him that much in the Orange Bowl. You know, he got hurt. And I was like, I sent him the special teams clip that Jay Harbaugh tweeted. And I, you know, sent like a paragraph on what I think. And he was like, oh, okay. Like, I like the pick. So I think Tennessee's going to have some fun there. They had the second most rushing attempts in the NFL last year. So a good fit for him. And people talk about this. Derrick Henry is huge and, you know, tough to bring down and everything. But in short yardage, he's actually not that good. He goes down pretty easily. He kind of runs high. If you look at his like short yardage numbers, not as good as you would think. Hassan Haskins maybe doesn't have that speed that Derrick Henry has, but he can get you the extra yard. So it'll be interesting to see how they use him. But good to see those guys go. The dreams come true on NFL draft day, and several others that'll take their shot with undrafted free agent deals. But fun to track as always. We'll be back next week with more talk. I'm sure something crazy will happen. You never know what you're going to get. So stick with us at thewolverine.com. Inside the Fort out today. Inside the Fort part two out tomorrow. So it's just $1 for an entire year. So go and do that. Join us right now, and we'll see everyone next time.